welcome to the Inner Bitch, Inner Truth podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Jacari, naturopathic doctor turned speaker, writer, and intuitive empowerment coach. Each week, I bring you inspiring stories, people, and messages to help you lean into loving your emotions, transforming your relationship with yourself and others, and giving you the clarity you need to create a life you love. Just a quick announcement before we get into today's episode, and that is that I have decided to create the Inner Bitch, Inner Truth community. So this is a Facebook group that you can search, and I'll also put it in the show notes. But basically, my intention for this Facebook group is to allow the listeners of this podcast to connect with one another, and a place where you can share your story either with other people who, you know, if you're here and you're listening to this podcast, there's a reason. And we all have a unique story, every single one of us. You know, you don't really get through life without the trials and tribulations of life, right? So we all have a story and we all have a struggle, and we've, you know, probably worked through some of that struggle, or we're deep in it right now. And we just want to know that there's other people out there who understand, at least, you know, if not going through the same experience, but maybe a similar experience. And so this Facebook group is a place where you can go and share your story and connect with other people who understand what you're going through, and maybe they want to share their story with you as well. And so this is kind of a combination of a lot of different things that I've learned along my own journey. But the number one thing that I found within eating disorder recovery work is that the more that I hear other people's stories, the more that I see that, you know, yes, I went through a lot of shit, but so did a lot of other people. And if they've been able to heal through that stuff that they've gone through, I can heal mine. And so it's through this power of story sharing and relating to one another's story that is so healing. And so that's just what led me to start this Facebook group. And I don't really know like where it's all gonna go or what it's all gonna transform and look like and all of those things. I'm not really sure everything that I'm gonna share. But what I do know is that I wanna start with sharing my story and asking you if you'd be open to sharing yours. And then with whatever stories, you know, pop up, reading through them and being like, wow, I can see myself in this story. This story is similar to mine. And then maybe you feel, you know, comfortable enough and you feel this little urge inside that it might be scary to comment on someone's story and to share, hey, you know, I've been through something similar. This is my story. And then just sharing your story. That's really what I want the structure to be like, is just story sharing rather than people sharing their story and then being like, tell me how to get through this. What do I do? What, you know, like coach me through it. This is not a coaching sort of group. This is a story sharing. You went through that stuff and I went through this stuff, and this is how I was able to transmute and alchemize my pain. That is how I was able to do that, is through this. And so, you know, that may or may not be right for that other person, right? And so that's why I don't want the coaching or the, I did this, it works for everyone I know, you need to do this. It's like, I don't want it to be that sort of format, because, you know, as part of this journey, we're learning to form a relationship with our own intuition. And when you have that, the energy of you should do this, you need to do this, it's worked for me, it's going to work for you. The energy of that is just not, it's not high vibe. It's not, it's just not healing. What's actually healing is relating to the story and then saying, you know, the way that I've found myself to work through this is by XYZ. And you know, then that person that was originally sharing the story can be like, huh, that's interesting. And they can kind of take and leave what resonates rather than there being this like really direct push to do the exact same thing that you may have done, because, you know, not everything works for everyone, right? So yeah, that's my intention behind this Facebook group. And if you would like to join, I would love to have you there. So come join us. So I have with me today the beautiful Marcella Jones. I actually met her in the acupuncture program at National University of Health Sciences. She was like on her way out when I was on my way in, and she helped show me the ropes a bit. And so she is going through the process of her licensure and everything, but she studies traditional Chinese medicine with a focus on acupuncture and Chinese herbs, which I did not do the Chinese herbs, and the herbs are so important. So it's so great that you did that, and you're going to help and heal so many people. And I'm so happy to have you on.
I'm so excited to be on. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Yeah. We always get talking about just the universe and like divine guidance and like astrology and all this cool stuff. So I thought that you would be such a fun person to have on here. And I would really love if you started with just a little bit about your story, a little bit about your journey. And, you know, we talked specifically about like emotions and just your relationship to your own emotions.
Okay. So for all of my astrology people out there, I am on the cusp of Gemini and Taurus. I am Scorpio rising and a Taurus moon. So whatever that does for you. I don't know about all the other stuff as well or in detail in terms of like houses and things. I'm learning that still. But those are kind of the things that I go by when I look at things that I do every day. And I'm like, oh, yep, there's that Scorpio rising. Okay, let me bring it back.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in terms of astrology, but my story, I can just say, I'm someone who really likes to alchemize like pain and tragedy and things that happen into good energy that I can use to bless others. You know, when I was growing up, one of the things that I encountered was just kind of a lot of emotional rockiness just because of the dynamics of my family, because of things that happened when I was younger. You know, my parents divorced when I was 3. So I was kind of growing up with my mother and grandmother and grandfather, my mother's parents. And there were just kind of all types of different things going on in that dynamic, trying, you know, my mom being a single mom, working full time as a teacher, trying to be present with me, trying to work, you know, and then my grandparents babysitting when my mom was, you know, working. And so I just found there to be just kind of a lot of emotional like hurts and woundings that really didn't have time to heal, you know, because my mom was on the go and my grandparents were on the go trying to make sure that I was okay and that everyone was okay. So just from this perspective, looking back on it, I can see where, you know, they may not have had the tools like we do now. Everybody's on a podcast, you know, everybody's a life coach, everybody's got all these wonderful things that people can follow, and Instagram is just blown up with all these incredible resources. So I feel like, and you know, it's more accessible to find care for your inside, your soul. So I feel like looking now back on that, where that wasn't necessarily the time people were doing that, it just influenced how they kind of maybe bled wounds that they received when they were younger onto me, and just in life general, you know, their perspective on receiving love and giving love. So I say that with all respect to my family. I say that with all respect to, you know, like God and everything that I've gone through making me who I am today. But just having that context, that's what I'll be speaking from. So when I encountered just experiencing, like I was an empath, when, you know, I am an empath, and I experienced a lot of emotions, and just kind of being in that context, I wasn't really able to get the emotional nurturing that I needed from my family because they were largely in masculine energy in the works, you know, working aspect of life. And there wasn't much rest to learn how to heal or how to feel. So fast forward all these years now to when I'm like, you know, 30 and I'm experiencing love in different ways and a dynamic where I didn't necessarily expect to receive love in this dynamic, But here it is. And I'm like, you know, I have friends and I'm always like, what's happening? What is this? How do you, you know? And they were like, well, just feel it. Just experience it. Just, you know, enjoy it. And I would always get frustrated because I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, what is the A plus B equals C to feeling this? You know, like, how do I feel this? And they're like, no, you just exist with it. I'm like, no, you're not understanding. I don't know how to do that. And they're like, it's not a do, it's a be. I'm like, I don't know how to be that. Like, so I just have had a lot of practice with trying to be present in the moments that I know that my body is, you know, absorbing a good emotion. Because lots of times when I was growing up, I could feel the pain and I could feel, you know, things that were hurting my heart. But as far as good things, I felt like there wasn't much space to receive, you know, positive emotions, happiness, joy. It was always kind of fear and afraid and trying to make sure everyone was not angry with me because everyone was just kind of angry in general, you know. So it was a lot of just trying to walk on eggshells to be okay. And so that's not really the foundation in which you learn how to be. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
I'm like, I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that your story is something that so many of us resonate with, because like, I know that when I was younger, my parents had taught me zero skills about how to be with my emotions. And my thing was, stop crying, or I'm going to give you something to cry about. Mm. Or if you're going to cry, you go to your room. And it was such a shameful thing that it was like, oh, this must be wrong. This feeling that I have going on, this must be wrong. Mm. And like, how do I change this? How do I be better? But then it's like you force yourself, or in that forcing, it's like just turning it off and becoming totally disconnected with your body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that takes a long time to recover from.
It does. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And that's like, that's why we're here. It's like, you know, that's why I have this podcast is because this story is so, you know, we all have a different experience, but it's so similar in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And if I can help people, you know, try to understand why they're feeling what they're feeling and what they actually need, then, you know, we're just going to have better lives overall.
Facts.
So it's interesting too, because it's like this, how you said that you were like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, what am I supposed to do with these emotions? What am I supposed to do with what I'm feeling? And I have the experience of, okay, I'm feeling this. Why am I feeling it? Where's it coming from? Is this a wound? Is this like my soul being angry? Like, why am I feeling this? And I would sit and I would get so in my head about the emotion that I was experiencing that I was completely missing, like processing the emotion in general.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's such a thing. And I find like, I feel like we're asking the same question, you know, just in a different way. It's like, you know, when you get to a place where you finally feel like you can absorb the emotion, it's like, you're like, I get what you're saying. You're saying like, okay, well, why is this happening? Like, is this astrological? Is this just me in a mood? Am I, like, what is this coming from? You know, and it's all kind of in an effort to, I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not trying to project, but in an effort to be self-aware in what is passing through the gates to the heart, you know? Cause like for me, what do I do with this was always in an effort of, okay, well, someone just said something to me that was harsh. What do I do with this? Okay, I take some time, I journal, I breathe, I take a shower. Like, I know what to do, quote unquote, with negative words or things that people may say that may trigger me or cause me to want to respond in a negative way. I know how to pause. I know how to take evaluation of, you know, what I'm thinking about that got me along that line. Like, maybe they're not even saying what I think they're saying, you know? So I know how to kind of do things, quote unquote, to moderate how I respond to negative stimuli, let me put it that way. But as far as positive and just absorbing it, it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't need like a moat and crocodiles and 15 walls and, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My thing is that it is for the self-awareness aspect where it's like, okay, if I'm feeling uncomfortable right now, it's most likely due to some sort of childhood wound that you know, the universe is like, hey, I'm making, like, the situation's happening so that you can heal this wound. But mm-hmm. what my problem was that I got so stuck in my head about it that I wasn't allowing myself to actually experience the emotion to let it leave my body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's true. It's like when things are going good and then when you're receiving praise, it feels uncomfortable if you're not really used to it. And mm-hmm. then something feels wrong. Like something feels off where you're like, oh, like when's the other shoe going to drop? Like you're giving me this good stuff, but then like, when's the bad going to come?
Mm-hmm. And it's always just like, okay, let me hold this good in my hand real quick. Okay. And I got my shield in my other hand for when, you know, I throw this good over my shoulder and I have to fight again. Like, you know, so I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah. I found for me, it's a lot of recognizing these patterns and recognizing when I am receiving all of this good and I feel uncomfortable. It's just like, okay, this is uncomfortable because it's new. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. And it doesn't mean that there's going to be a bad that comes. And so it's been a lot of just like hands up, surrendering to God, like, okay, I trust you. I'm here. I'm showing up. I'm doing the work. I'm feeling the things. I'm not in my head so much. I've had to shift. It's like, okay, I'm in my body. I'm feeling and I'm receiving. I'm ready to receive. But it's been a practice for me.
Yes, right. And I like that you said practice because it takes the shame off of why this doesn't like organically happen. You know, like it allows there to be a space for growth. It allows there to be a space for self-acceptance and, you know, like, okay, like we did better at accepting this yesterday than we are today. Oh, but we have 17 things to do today. So we don't really have the sense of being like we did. Okay, it's okay. Like, you know, it's a practice like anything else you would practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm finding myself realizing more and more every single day, it's truly about the journey, not the destination.
Facts on facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel as if it within the spiritual community, it's like, okay, we need to integrate the shadow. We need to be good. We need to be our best selves every single day. And it's like, dude, sometimes I'm my best self and then I'm my worst self the next day or a couple hours later. It's like, you know, we're human. We're in human form, living a spiritual life. We are not meant to be, you know, the highest spiritual being all of the time. Like, I think that there's periods of enlightenment that you may reach, but you're human. You're going to come back down into your human form.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I don't want to say there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like there's nothing wrong with that. Because, like, to expect anything else would be, like, you'd be dead. Like, you wouldn't be living through things that you need to grow through, you know? So I'm with you. I think it's good to have a healthy, you know, acceptance of that. Cause like, it's so easy to slip into performance mentality and be like, oh, well, I'm a spiritual person and I have a spiritual platform. And so I always have to be on 10. Like, no, you don't.
Right.
You know, if anything, you have more reason to be on the variant numbers between 1 and 10 because of all the things that I don't want to say are being thrown at you, but are being thrown at you because this is your area of practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to the gym, you know, work out. It's a thing. You're around all these different weights. So you're going to interact with all of them. It's not like you're just, you know, I don't know another example. I don't want to say going swimming because it's a lot going on with that too, but you get what I'm trying to say. Like, just this concept of like where you are, those things are happening is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. This kind of leads into another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, because we got talking the other day about like karma and how you were listening to a teaching about how karma is not what we think it is. Do you mind talking a little bit about that?
Okay. So yes, I was actually looking at a podcast with Omarion. Shout out to Omarion. I love you. Okay. And Guru Sadhguru. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but he's an epic person who just have recently just taken his motorcycle around in the US traveling and kind of connecting with different people. I think he did an interview with Will Smith and I just was kind of like, what? Where is he coming from? Like, where did you come from with all this wisdom? So he was just kind of explaining that he's, you know, having a book that's going to come out soon. And and about how, like, typically, like, I don't want to say American because American covers so many different cultures, but a perspective that we've had here in the West, I'm assuming, again, I could be wrong, has just been this kind of you reap what you sow, what you give, you get kind of idea around karma. When in actuality, he's explaining that karma is kind of the energy that is going through life. So not necessarily like a generational curse in the sense that it has a negative meaning, but like a generational way of being. So like he was explaining how, you know, lots of people may grow up and they want to be like, oh, I don't want to be like my dad. And, oh, I don't want to be like my mom. And then when they're 40 or 50, they're walking like their parents or talking like their parents or just kind of being like their parents. And it's not necessarily saying that that's a bad thing. It's just saying that karma is kind of that energy that flows through us that is historical, that remembers things for generations and just kind of keeps going. And so he's saying out of that awareness, you can make decisions based on what you'd like to perpetuate and write into the history of future generations versus there being this concept of, oh, well, this person robbed the bank when they were six. That's why their business flopped and they went bankrupt. Like, no, like, you know, that is such an interesting, you know, perspective. And I do believe that laws like that exist. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of what you give out kind of comes back to you in a way, but I don't necessarily know that that's karma per se. You know what I'm saying? Again, I could be wrong, but one of the things that I was watching, I like watching Jay Shetty. And there was another, oh, I completely lost my train of thought. I was thinking about Jay Shetty and he was talking about, there was a podcast where he and Jada Pinkett Smith were talking, but I totally lost my train of thought. We'll come back to that if it's supposed to happen. But just basically just understanding that things that happen and things that, you know, exist in how you manifest in your day-to-day life, it's not necessarily a shameful things. If shameful thing if things repeat, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, this is the nature of what's gone through my history and my lineage. This is how we respond to things. What am I going to do with that? Am I going to allow it to continue to perpetuate? If it's a good thing, great. You know, family time, family values, that's a good thing. Am I going to let that continue on to future generations? I hope so. But in other contexts, maybe there might be some awareness where we affect how we influence future generations.
Yeah, absolutely. This whole idea is so similar to what I've experienced in my life. And I draw a lot of my own like rules, I guess, that I make up about the world based on my own experience and just the way that I'm a very self-reflective person. And I watch how like I grew up and how I basically was trained to be a bitch. Mm. And that's like the point of this whole podcast. So in the first episode, I talk about how my bitch wound came to be and then like the evolution of it and all of that. But basically it's like, I was trained to have a one-track mind on how the world revolves around me. And if people step outside of that, I get very harsh and like, it can sound like reprimanding because that's literally what I was modeled all my childhood. Mm. And so I remember all growing up, I was like, I do not want to be like my parents. I do not want to be like my parents. And I just kept, it was like a mantra. Like I will not be my parents because I hated the way that I was raised. Mm. And yet there's this moment where I was probably a teenager and I was like going after my brothers about something and like bitching about something. And I saw myself in the mirror and I was like, oh my goodness, I am my parents. I am am I going to keep acting this way or am I going to change? And then that was just like one little sliver because it took me till college and losing girlfriends, losing friends over the way that I was being. Mm. And it took that sort of situation. It's like the way I see it is that we're climbing a mountain and you'll keep like there's a base camp and you have to go around the mountain and come back to the base camp before you can move up the mountain. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I had to keep going around the mountain because I kept missing my mark. I kept missing the lesson. And so it's like, I didn't learn what my soul needed to transmute. Like I wasn't transmuting that wound. Mm-hmm. And so it kept happening to me. But once I realized like the wound itself, and that I, you know, the world doesn't revolve around me, and that I don't need to be harsh and I don't need to be a bitch. It's like, it only then was I able to move up the mountain to like a different base camp. But again, it's like, it's the same similar thing with every wound that I've found. It's like, okay, I need to like work through this stuff. And then, you know, maybe these things that keep, it's a pattern in my life. Maybe these patterns will stop if I heal these wounds.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good right there. I love the way you broke that down. It's so true. It's so true. And as you were talking, it made me think like, oh yeah, I remember what I was saying about Jay Shetty and Jada Pinkett. They were talking about how things are kind of like a law in life. And like when things, she was talking about, Jada Pinkett was talking about how love kind of starts with us. It goes up to the highest and then goes back into other people. So it's like, we have to get to have an understanding of, again, the highest, the source. I would call it God, you know, the highest source, and then back to other people. And as a form of, you know, learning what love is and a form of learning how to love others. And so like when you're speaking of like going around this mountain, it sounds like that's another law where it's like, you can't really get to a new place until you kind of, like you said, transmuted the energy. Because lots of time, and I like how you said that, because lots of time people say, oh, you learn a lesson. It's like, not necessarily. It's like, you touch the stove, don't touch it. But you don't necessarily rid your body of the trauma that happened when you touched it. So it is about transmuting that energy and releasing that out of your energetic field so that you can kind of bring in newer things and newer lessons and newer vibrational frequencies that can kind of absorb the happiness that we were talking about and the good feelings and, you know, kind of what we started with the interview.
Yeah, absolutely. And this also reminds me of just how the energy of those emotions from those wounds get stuck in our bodies.
Right.
And how so often I've found it's like once people just dive down deep and like feel that, like really feel the emotion from that awful memory that they had and that shame and that pain that they have literally just suppressed and they've stored. Once they go down and feel it and release it, it like opens up a whole new level of love.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, all of this stuff is just, it's so cool. And it's so great talking with you about it and hearing the difference. It's just hearing all these different perspectives, because I think that we each experience it on one level or another, but we explain it in a different way.
Right. I agree with you. I love it for the same reasons.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if you have anything to like share about your perspective on like health and like using acupuncture to heal, and just anything that comes to mind for you. I'm just wondering like what your perspective is, because we all have, you know, a unique perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can only speak of what I feel I'm here to do. And I feel that I am here to work with energy healing. Like, so I've kind of just gotten into Reiki more so. And I feel like acupuncture is a way of connecting the body to the healing energy of the heavens. So it's like, I forget what book I read this in. Oh my goodness, my professors will be mad at me. Sorry.
You're good.
But it was just this concept of like the acupuncture needles are like, there are three levels, like the heavens, man, and earth. And acupuncture allows there to be, like the needles themselves allow there to be a connection of energy between man and the heavens, and the heavens are where the healing energy, you know, originates. And so like for me, when I'm doing acupuncture, I think of it from a spiritual context of the person allowing themselves to kind of get in touch, get to a rested enough state to allow there to be healing elements energetically that happen within them and that happen around them and that can affect them. So like, for example, sometimes I have patients who come in, that's my favorite thing, is to work with mental and emotional health, kind of our area, you know. And, and in the beginning I thought to myself like, nobody's gonna want to do that, everybody wants to treat low back pain, you know. So like, yeah, I was like, I don't know if that's gonna be an area where people are interested. But I've actually found that the people that are brought to me in terms of like my, you know, people that I have treated
are people who are wired that way. And so it's not even so much that they don't have low back pain or they don't have ankle pain or they don't have those things. It's just that they are aware that their body is connected. And when they come in for ankle pain, they're like, okay, they're, now they're like, okay, what, Marcella, what does that mean? I'm like, well, you know, the ankle is connected to this. And depending on what side, it's the feminine or masculine side, like blah, blah, blah. So we get to have all those awesome conversations. But circling back to how I feel that I've been here, you know, to help others heal, that's my perspective. So my perspective is going to come from one thinking that, okay, I've been sent here to help others heal emotionally, mentally, through the traumas they've experienced, because that's kind of been how I've wired. And so I really do believe in the power of acupuncture to connect people to themselves and to connect people to their stories. And in addition, to connect them to the heavens. So like, when people can connect to themselves and their story, I feel like what we were talking about earlier, they can breathe and allow emotions and feelings and trauma patterns or pains to alchemize. And when I say alchemize, I mean shift from the negative, heavy, dense energy to releasing into something light, like pollen that floats through the air, I guess. I don't know. Doesn't always feel like that, but that was the kind of concept that I meant when I was saying in terms of like believing the power of acupuncture. I think that it's one of the vehicles, one of the hundreds of thousands of vehicles, I think, that people can connect to help heal. And my trajectory in life has closely wired me to that. I've got a lot of metal in my chart in terms of like Chinese building. I forget what that that's called too. It's like you have different types. People are like wood, metal, water, you know, so on and so forth. So I've got metal in my chart. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Acupuncture, I can connect with that. You know, so I think that when people are open just in general to kind of how life moves and how life works when we encounter hardship, you can use any vehicle that I feel is brought to you that you seek out for inner healing, emotional healing, mental healing, physical healing. And I feel like it's up to each individual person to decide which vehicle they're being called to, which vehicle they want to use, you know. And so I think it's really just an opportunity to ask, you know, the original source, like, hey, how can I receive healing? Or what would you have for me? Because acupuncture is not for everyone. I have some people who are like, actually, I'd rather not. Can you just do twin arm massage? I don't like needles. I'm like, sure. Okay, well, I do a form of massage, but here's a number to a massage therapist. If touch is your way of healing, by all means, you know. So I'm kind of just of the school of thought that everyone has an opportunity to heal and grow. And it's just, it's up to them to discover which ways work for them.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing. Thanks. I found it to be really interesting how I had this patient with anxiety, and it's like every single morning she would wake up in a panic attack and had anxiety throughout the entire day. And I mean, I talked with her a little bit about how just coming back to the breath and, you know, not allowing your thoughts to, like, your thoughts aren't always real. And so just allow some of them to pass. So I did a little bit of work with her, but mostly it was just acupuncture and herbs. And she went from 8 out of 10 anxiety was her just natural hum throughout the entire day, 8 out of 10. And, you know, a month and a half later, 0 out of 10. Like, it was completely gone. And she had been doing this for years. And
what?
So it's like, yeah. And it was only, I mean, like I said, a little bit, I taught her a little bit of meditation and just, you know, to not take her thoughts seriously, but that's the only, you know, communication work that we did. The other stuff, like, I didn't even do any sort of Twaina or anything. She only wanted the acupuncture and the herbs.
Wow.
So it's like, there is something, like, I don't, you know, I'm still learning all of this. I don't know what it is, but there is something to the energy that flow through the acupuncture protocols and the herbs. The herbs, I think, have just such potent, you know, energetic signatures that they do as well.
Absolutely. Well, just piggybacking off of that, like, that I could talk about, because again, you have, like, you know, you have the meridians and they all are energetic, but they all have like an internal yin organ, and they all have kind of external things. Like, you could have any, you know, acupuncture point on the elbow that could be related to digestion, but also could be related to elbow pain, you know. So like, all of those kind of energetic networks, it's almost like a power on. Like, if you've got a circuit
And it, you know, like if you think about like a fuse box and one of the areas is turned off, acupuncture is like switching off on the fuse box, you know, switching on that little like, I don't know what it's called, but that thing that you flip when you want to turn the power back on, you know, like that's so cool. And I also think of it like highways. And so really what acupuncture is doing is kind of connecting the body back to itself in areas where, because like in Chinese medicine, the definition of pain is obstruction. And so if you're thinking of anything that's stuck anywhere, if you have power kind of helping to move it along. I don't know if there are any Avatar The Last Airbender fans out there, but like in terms of like Guru Patik, I don't remember that episode, but he's talking about the differences in chakras and how when the chakras are kind of like filled with energy that's kind of toxic and heavy and dense, it keeps them from flowing to each other properly. It's kind of that same idea, you know, where if you've got something like, for example, like a common diagnosis is liver qi stagnation, and that's just kind of anything and everything. It could be emotional because the liver is in charge of processing functionally, not, you know, Western anatomically. That's not what we're talking about here. That's a whole different area that I have no idea, you know, how to connect. But in Chinese medicine, it really helps process all of your emotions. But the liver itself houses anger, just like the kidneys house fear. And these are the pathological things. There are also like good things, like the lungs in their healthy form deal with nostalgia versus grief if they're in their pathology form. So like all of those things connect. And so if you're doing acupuncture points, like maybe saying you're doing like a PC6 or a Buddhist triangle, which involves heart 7 and lung 9, that energy of information that's working through the meridian network actually does influence and help the body heal, you know? So I like, sometimes when I talk to people who are new to acupuncture, I say to them like, okay, you know, like when you get a cut, you get a scab and the blood, you know, goes to the scab and it, you know, crests over and then it allows your body the time to heal. It's like acupuncture in a way wakes up your body and says, hey, come over here to the healing elements of that specific, you know, point on the meridian, or also to that specific energetic point emotionally within the body. So sometimes when you're dealing with people who have pain, and if they have low back pain, they could be experiencing fear, like when we talk about, you know, with the kidneys. And if we do maybe like a golden needle treatment on the back where you hit all the yin organs with like the bladder meridian points on the back, it could kind of help tonify. Maybe someone feels nurtured. No, maybe they don't feel nurtured, and that could be a form of like energetically nurturing the body. So I totally believe in the power of acupuncture in terms of connecting the body to itself and healing energies of just everything around us that's positive, you know? So yes to all of that. And herbs do the same thing. They have the same kind of properties, you know, because we have the different pathologies like heat, cold, wind, damp. I always forget the last one. Heat, cold, wind, damp, dryness. That's it. So, and then iatrogenesis, which is kind of everything else that we don't really know. Well, I mean, we know, but it's kind of a mixed bag of a lot of things, emotional things and other things. And so herbs kind of help with that. So there are herbs that tonify blood, there are herbs that clear damp, there are herbs that, you know, so all of those things are kind of doing the same thing, kind of doing the flame on or power on to the body so that the body can help, you know, restore its natural tendency to work at optimal, you know, good things.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for that beautiful explanation. I love that. And I love how you talked about like the organs within emotions can be either good or pathological, like in their healthy state or the pathological state, like the lungs with nostalgia mm-hmm. being more in a, you know, healthy state, and then the grief in the mm-hmm. unhealthy state. And I think mm-hmm. something real quick that we should talk about is people waking up in the middle of the night and how yes. it actually, you know, speak to what emotions are suppressed. Let's and go. How, yeah, because I find so often patients will come in and they're like, you know, I keep waking up at 3 a.m. every single morning. I wake up at 3 a.m. or like 5:12 a.m. and yet I'm not supposed to wake up till like 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I always think about like 1 to 3 is the liver.
Let's go. Like,
all right. You mm-hmm. know, that's probably unprocessed anger.
Yes.
From mm-hmm. 3 to 5, like unprocessed mm-hmm. grief.
Grief, yep.
A long mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything you want to share about that? Sorry if I like stole that.
No, I think, no, what, girl, this is awesome.
awesome. I completely okay. agree with you.
And that's something that's so interesting to me in terms of like treatment I've learned. Like you can kind of do treatment for certain things based off that TCM clock too. And so like what she's talking about is kind of that, like the body clock that in traditional Chinese medicine where certain energy is heightened heightened at that organ at that time. So it's like, it's not that energy is not flowing to, you know, like functionally the liver or the lung at any other time outside of 1 to 3 and 3 to 5. It's just that at that time, there's just kind of this optimal awareness of, you know, energy that's happening at that time, I guess. And the body has a tendency to process things at that level. Now, mind you, gurus who've been doing TCM for decades know the answers better than us and recent grads and all that. But for the sake of what we're talking about today, I've just found that that happens within my own life. And like you said, I had patients who would say like literally every day though. And so like from that standpoint, I feel like it's just another tool in the tool belt. You can kind of say, okay, well, what's going on? Like then you get to ask patients interesting questions like, are you experiencing any grief? And then like, what? What do you mean? No, you know, or they could be like, well, my grandma just passed, blah, blah, blah. You know, how did you know? And it's like, well, I feel it's kind of the magic of, you know, Chinese medicine in that way. And so I agree with you, like when we're thinking about all of the, like even the things that happen, like just looking at this chart here, it talks about like livers in terms of deep sleep, detoxing the blood, resting and recovery and planning. So like any of those areas that are out of balance, that would just kind of highlight during that time. So I'm totally with you. I think that's a great modality in terms of helping people connect to elements that are affecting their health that just aren't related to coming in for a session. Because I feel like so many people come in and they're like, oh, well, I'm just going to do this session twice a week and I'm good. It's like, no, we're guiding you back to areas of your life that you have the power to influence. You know what I'm saying? So like you can, you know, you have the tools and you have what you need to work on whatever it is in your life that's bringing you out of balance. And I think that the TCM clock is a great tool to do that, like to help people see that.
Yeah, absolutely. What's that chart? Do you have something for the lung for 3 to 5? Because what you shared was for 1 to 3, right? For the
mm-hmm. liver? Yeah, so for the lung, I just Googled TCM clock.
Okay.
but for the lung, it says deep sleep, dreams, and memory, and you detox the lung. So I'm pretty sure there are probably like books, Maciosa or other books that have more in-depth versions of this that, you know, are not just for kind of fly-by-night learning. You know what I'm saying? Like you can Google TCM clock, anyone can Google that and kind of get the concept of what it is. But this, I like, you know, when we're talking about like dreams and memory and detox of lungs, because it makes sense, like nostalgia and grief, that's dealing with memory, you know? And so then kind of to piggyback off of that, the kidney, I like, it talks about stirring nutrients and building bone marrow and supper time. So they also tell you like, when are good times to, you know, have sex and when is a good time to do self-love? Like 8 p.m. it says, the pericardium, which is light reading sex and self-love. So if you find yourself kind of getting in a different mood where you're like, oh, I just kind of want to, you know, chill out, drink a coffee, put on some music, like that's real, mm-hmm. you know? Or if you're experiencing like they're saying a good time to work or study is between 3 to 5 p.m. where your energy is restored and you can work and study. Like, I don't know, like the biological clock, sometimes they talk about how between the hours of 1 and 3, you want to take a nap. And then by like 3 to 5, four, you know, 4-ish, 5-ish is where you wake back up. So that's kind of it kind of is consistent with that, you know? So I think this is cool.
Yeah, it is. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, first of all, you're going through this process of getting your licensure and all of that. But mm-hmm. If people want to work with you or to find you, how's the best way that they can do that?
Well, right now, probably through Instagram, which is MLJones08. You can, and yeah, that's everything is lowercase. It's ML Jones and then 08. And then you can just send me a direct message, a DM. And so I plan on being licensed within the year of 2021 because we had this whole COVID thing and I wasn't able to finish boards the way I thought I would this year because testing got kind of pushed back for a couple months. But I plan to be licensed definitely by the end of 2021. So we can hopefully start to work together at that time. And if I finish before then, it'll definitely be on social media. So
yeah,
we can start to work together. You can also reach me by email, MarcellaJones12@gmail.com. That's kind of what my email is right now. That's my name, MarcellaJones, the number 1 and 2 @gmail.com or Facebook.
Okay. And I'll put all this information in the show notes as well. But just Thank so you. People, if they resonate with you and what you got going on, then they can find you, follow you, talk to you. You know, all of that. But before we end, I'm just wondering if there is one thing that you could tell women of the world today, what would that be?
That you are light, that you are love, that you are energy at its most dynamic form, that you are God loving himself back through himself, that you are powerful, that you are nurturing, that you're a mother in the sense that others need the energy and the way that you mother. Not everyone is a physical mom, but a lot of people are emotional parents and mentors and guides through life. So I just honor your journey. If you're cis, if you're trans, if you're non-binary, whatever you decide to just, you know, identify with, you still have that light and loving energy in your soul, in your being. And it's nurturing to self. If you're looking outside, you're looking in the wrong place. It's within yourself and that you've got this. You're strong, you're able, you're capable, and you at your best form is just being yourself. So just trust that. Trust life. Trust the process.
That was so beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being here with me today. I greatly appreciate the time you spent.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're so welcome.